Ois test vav. Nimza shezois hi tachli seinu v'tachlis chavar seinu. So, after all is said and done, he says, the tachlis of our chavra and the tachlis of our existence is l'shachlil samachshava, to refine our way of thinking, to improve our way of thinking, l'hitziya u'l'archiva u'l'chazka, to bring out better thoughts, to expand and to strengthen these thoughts. V'loi gilui hamachshava levad hu zayis. And in doing so, I'm not referring, the Rebbe says, I'm not talking about becoming more intelligent people. It's not a question here of intelligence. Rak gam gilui hanefeshi. I'm talking about revealing one's own soul to oneself. Gilui yishlitasa al haguf, revealing the soul and giving it and enabling it. Once it's revealed, then it will be able to, then the nefesh, the soul, will be able to overcome the demands of the body. Asherim tischanech v'tasme bezeh tuchol alayis midarga ladarga el mekomis eshaloi sha'artov lo kivisa. That if you educate yourself in this way that we've been talking about, and you continue in this way, you'll be able to reach madregas, to reach levels that you never imagined and you never hoped for, you never realized that were possible for you. And what could be missing from the life of a person when his nefesh, when his soul is leading the march, when his body is following his soul? That person has everything he could possibly want, not in this world, of course, but the tachlis is that a person should become someone whose nefesh, whose soul, is walking in front, and his physical needs are secondary. Umeshech says kol gufo achareha. This person's nefesh tells the guf what to do. It draws the guf. It draws the soul. It draws the body after it. El Maroim could save a kana to the highest heights. The Kaven Shematoris Avadasenu Vitikvasenu is Gilui HaNefesh. Since the goal and the purpose of our avoda is to reveal the nefesh, is to reveal within oneself the spiritual essence, Lachain Tzrichim Anu L'Snaig B'Cholin Yanenu Hanhogas Shemesaglas Is HaNefesh L'Sgalas. Therefore, we have to behave in such a way in everything that we do. We have to act, and we have to take upon ourselves those actions that will enable the soul to be mezgala, that will enable the soul to be revealed. And we have to obviously distance ourselves from those types of actions or words or thoughts that would cause the nefesh to become secondary, the soul to be distanced within us. Umatminim isa, that conceal and hide the soul and send them to a place that's called Benukva, the Tahim Rabba, spiritual oblivion. Asher Ba'adam. I'm not going to explain exactly what that means. In Kabbalah, Nukva, the Tahim Rabba, it's a bad place. It's not some place where you can go to physically, but it means a person whose spirituality is simply unknown to him. It's lost. He's not in touch at all with who he is. Now he begins to discuss this. In other words, what the Rebbe is saying now is that since the tachlis, since the goal of our chevra is to reveal within oneself his spiritual strength and expand his way of looking at things and his way of seeing reality, which we've been learning about until now, therefore there are certain actions that one undertakes in order to do this, and there are certain things that one avoids in order to because there are actions, there are things that if one would do them, then it would cause the soul to retreat. Now obviously all mitzvahs and all aveiros, but the Rebbe here discusses one particular trait and a general way of how a Jew should behave. It's a very interesting discussion of the mid of pshitus and tmimus, a general overall way that a Jew should live. Because obviously, every mitzvah that a Jew does helps to reveal the soul. And every aveira, God forbid, that a Jew does sends the soul running behind the body. Right? That's obvious. But he speaks here about a certain way of looking, a certain way of acting that is a general approach that will strengthen the positive, this positive way of revealing who he is to himself. Yeah. So he writes, "Tenaygis asmecha bepshitus utmimis bechol inyanecha," and he's going to explain this now for a couple of pages. What this means, that you should behave in a way of pshitus and tmimis, in a way that is simple and tamim, tmimisdik, bechol inyanecha, in all of your things. Ki tmimus, it's difficult to translate tmimus. Let's learn more about it. When Yaakov Avinu had this mida of tamim tiyim Hashem Elokecha, this mida of tmimus, he says, he memshelus hanefesh la'adam umaisav. When a person goes in this way of tmimus, then it is certain that he is the kind of a person in whom the nefesh rules, in whom the soul rules and has and conducts everything in his life. V'armumius hi choyser hanefesh, cleverness, shrewdness. For a person to be... Now, clever doesn't mean you can't be clever in business, and it doesn't mean you can't be clever on page 36. It doesn't mean you can't be clever with a difficult taisvis. He's not talking. Of course, you should be clever, and of course, he says this outright later on that I want you to become dumb. He's talking about a shrewdness, which he's going to explain a type of cleverness and a shrewdness, which he says he choyser hanefesh. That when a person acts in this way of shrewdness and cleverness, it's a siman mufak, it's a clear sign that this person's soul is not been revealed to him and is secondary to his body. And there is no mida, he says, there's no general way of looking at reality and acting in this world that distances oneself from one's own soul as much as this characteristic that is called armumius. Shrewdness, or a certain type of a crookedness. We'll see what he means. That is when the person's intellect rules, when the mind rules. And he says, but don't think that I'm talking, now that sounds terrible, right? That wouldn't sound good in any yeshiva. You'd say that the mind shouldn't rule. Of course the mind should rule. But he says, V'lei ha-seichel shalei shabam an ha-nefesh. I'm not talking, he says, about a seichel that has already passed through and been approved by the nefesh. That's the most wonderful thing in the world. When a person's intellect is also under the domain and the sovereignty of his neshama, of his spiritual self. What he's referring to is cold intellect. Intellect that is empty of spirituality. Rak seichel ha'olam. I'm talking about what's called seichel ha'olam, the seichel of the world, the secular mind, the seichel of raw intellect. Kleimer minhagim matzave ha'olam v'anoshav. I'm talking about the minhagim and the circumstances and ways of this world. Shahatipshim karm lazeh seichel. The idiots call this seichel. I'm talking about what the idiots refer to as seichel. What the world thinks seichel is. He's going to explain more about this. And according to this seichel, what the world calls rational intellect, and they act upon this intellect, and they speak. Chayshim think, umisnagim and act. He says this is what the tipshim call seichel. Es Hashem armumius sha'imim anu bezeh. What I'm talking about here, this shrewdness or cleverness, or what the world calls seichel. You know, when you go to some big position, some place, and some choshev affirm, they don't want to see tmimus, they want to see seichel, and they want to see seichel ha'olam, not seichel ha'tayra. Because Yaakov Avinu had Seichel HaTorah and he was Tmimistic. But they want to see Seichel HaOilam. what the tipshim, what the idiots call seichel ha'olam. And the Rebbe says this is a type of armumias. This is a level of dishonesty, of sheker. And so Hashem armumias sha'im onu b'zeh ein kavan aseinu al divrei sheker b'levad. He said, I don't want you to think that I'm just talking about a guy that's a liar, a guy that has a crooked head. I'm not talking just about that. Rakal reishis hasheker shav. I'm talking about where sheker comes from. Where does dishonesty come from? Vahasiba shemiviyosu la'odam. The daber v'lachsha divrei sheker. What causes a person to think and to say words that are not true? What causes a person to say things, to act in a way that's dishonest? Klemer. Al matzav ha-nefesh v'kilkula. There's a certain state of the soul. There's a certain way that there's something in a person that causes a kilkul, that causes this distortion, this crookedness, this problem. Shal yodo nasa ha-yish l'shakran. Until it comes to a point where the person becomes a liar. Not just that he says lies. Ad shemach shavoyse. He's not even true what he thinks. He's not even honest with his thoughts. And diburav, and certainly his words, v'cholin yonav, and all that he does, mi'ukolim. It's all crooked. It's all off. L'chayim, then his thoughts, his actions are not really alive, because they're sheker. Le'nimtsoyim v'la'amitya. They don't exist, and they're not true. Because sheker has no existence. Emes has existence. Chois Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The seal of Hashem is truth. Hashem is only with His truth. V'alkol ha'olam yesh chosam hazeh. Now this seal of Hashem's truth, you see everywhere in the world. It exists everywhere. Hatzemach shehu tzemeach. A plant is growing, it's honest. The plant is carrying out its nature, it's living in accordance, not that it has free choice, but the plant is living in accordance to its nature. And that nature that it's honest with and it follows is the chosam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baruch Shalom put a stamp on it and said, grow. Yesh bo mitzis chiyas nefesh etzomachas. It has within it this reality that's called nefesh etzomachas. The nefesh, the soul, on a level of what? Of vegetation that grows, of growing. A vegetable, a plant. He emes, and that's what it is. That's its emes. That's the truth. Vatzemach ha-metsuya. If you draw a plant, and this could be Van Gogh or Rembrandt. This could be the best drawing, the best painting of a plant. Ashanasa minshava kidmusat sameh, or if there's some wax figure or some little pestle, some little statue. Kidmusat sameh. Some sculpture that's in the shape of that is a representation of a plant. Husheker, it's a lie. It's a beautiful lie. If it's by Rembrandt or Van Gogh, it could be millions of dollars that you're going to pay for a sheker. But it's a sheker. The bottom line is, it's not a plant. And this is what I was talking about a little couple of weeks back when we were talking about how people will prefer and be inspired and moved by a painting of a father walking with his son, but when it comes to walking with a father walking with his own kid, it's like, you know, I'm getting my shoes dirty, it's cold out, there's a big hassle. But if somebody would take a picture or would paint that, it would be very moving or inspiring. This is a sheker. This is all mi'alma d'shikra. That a person will pay millions of dollars to see the best replication of a flower. But when he looks at a flower, it means nothing to him. That the Baruch Shalom, who's the Ein Tzur Ke'elokeinu, right? Chazal say, Ein Tzur Ke'elokeinu, there is no rock like Hashem. Chazal say, Ein Tzayar Ke'elokeinu, there is no painter, there's no artist as great as Hashem. And yet people will pay millions of dollars to see the most lifelike representation, a painting of a flower, but when it comes to flower itself, it smells, get out of here. You know, if your wife wants to go to the botanical gardens, you think, who do you think I am? I go to Yankee camps. I don't go to botanical gardens. But if someone gives you a flower, if someone gives you a painting, if it's a beautiful painting, it's a chash of a thing, people will pay a lot of money and put it on the wall. It's all sheker. And we're so used to this. We're so used to sheker. We're so used to sheker. I always joke about how Jews like that, Orthodox Jews especially, but even I would like to have paintings of Hasidim on the wall. It's a very beautiful thing. You know, you have Hasidim dancing, you have some Rebbe with his eyes closed, and his, but if his kid would turn into one of those, be gehakted tzaris, right? So, Mamad Shikra paintings, this and that, it's Amad Shikra. He says, so you have a picture, you have a sculpture of a tzamech, of a flower, usheke. It's a lie. Emes is what exists. It's truth. Emes is what's reality. We're surrounded by emes. We're just not so interested in that. We're not so interested in emes. But it's all over the place. Sheker is zero. It's nothing. It's ein nimsa. Emes hi bechinas chayim. Emes is life. Emes is something which is alive. It has a chiz. Sheker, something which is a lie. Whom is sitra demaisa? It's from the side of death. It's that quality that's called death. Shein kan loy etzem, loy hoyve v'loy nimtza. There is no etzem. There's no atzmius. There's no reality, and there's nothing here. Hametzi is here emes. Reality is the emes. V'heish shebechol in yonav maisa v'machshavoysav. Yesh mitzias. And when you have a Jew who in everything that he does, in all of his actions and all of his thoughts, his nefesh is there. That's who he really is. His nefesh. The essence of a person is his neshama. And if his neshama is in his words, if his neshama is in his thoughts and his actions, then he's nimtzis behem zehu emes u'tmimus. That is called the mida of emes and tmimus. And he explains that's why children are so delightful. Children are so wonderful. That's why even the crustiest old man who's forgotten what it means to be a child, and he sees a little kid, he feels here's something that's true, that's amistic. And that's what tmimus means. The plant grows, and this is its mitzvah, and it does it in a simple way. It doesn't want any congratulations or fanfare. It doesn't want to be honored at a dinner. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And if you find a real tmimus like a Jew, he's the same way. Davening, tefillin, go to a shir, take care of my family, I go to work. This is what I am. This is who I am. This is my mitzvah. This is a nefesh. You have to reward people if they're not lawyers. You have to give them incentives if they're not lawyers. Hatzemach tzemech betmimus upashas loylus shum kavanu upniach yitzaynis. Page 37. The plant doesn't have any kind of a thing that, oh, I want everybody to know that I'm this. I want everybody to see how beautiful I am. I want to. There's no pniach. There's no yitzaynis. There's no external thought. This is what I do. Rachman, how mitzias should be kirbo? Its mitzias dictates. That's all. Its essence, its reality dictates its behavior, and that's all it does in accordance to its own mitzias. Obviously, it's a lot easier for a flower to do that. We understand, but that's what tmimis and emes means. And it's only growing because its nefesh is telling it to do so, to expand, to grow. And a child is misnaig b'chol inyonev b'pshitus utmimus. They're trying to take this away from kids now. This is a billion-dollar business to take this also now away from kids. Children go in all of their ways. In pshitas, in a simple way, in tmimistic way. Kfi mitzias, I mean, that can cause trouble for teachers, for friends, right? But this is the way of a child. Kfi mitzias and nefesh v'his pashtus, as its nefesh, the child's nefesh, tells him to go and to be and to act and to grow. That's how the child goes. We impose upon the children all types of artificiality. This is another one of the many millions of dangers in television and all of these things that creates within takes away from a child the pshitas and the tmimas. Children nowadays, it's very hard for them to hold on to any kind of pshitas and tmimas because they're forced to become adults when they're little kids. They don't have any more. They don't have any more. That's simple. They're ready. They're also ready when they're very little. They have all the trouble. They don't wait till we grow up and the big kids. And we have to buy every little gadget that comes out and every artificial little toy to make ourselves appear and to, oh, this way, that way, and because it makes life better. And it's all children now also right away. You see them with the tchotchkelech and the tondet, they're little kids. When I was a boy and I lived in Eretz Yisrael, at that time there was only television late afternoon and night. You didn't even have television, you know. So a pshitas and a tmimas of children enjoying themselves and having fun and being who they really are, not the artificiality that society imposes upon them and takes away from them their tmimas. So he says, v'im gam ha'ish misnaig. Now, if you have an adult that's misnaig b'chol in yonav ha'machshevois rak b'nafshei, he acts like a child, not immature. Not that he's childish, but childlike in this way. That in all of his things, in machshavas, he acts rak b'nafshei. He's faithful to his nefesh. Ozu tamim v'amiti. That's called a tmimus dikayid. And he's going to explain. There could be a brilliant Jew, a huge Talmud Chacham. You don't think if we would have met Rabbi Kiva Eger, you don't think when you met the Chavetz Chaim, that this is what you would have felt right away when you sat down with the Chavetz Chaim? I was zeicher last week in Yerushalayim to spend an hour with a tzaddik, an amazing person. It's such a pshita, such a tmimus. It's unbelievable. Like a little boy. His Rebbetzin called him, and he jumped out of the chair. He says, "Yoch pal kumen," and he ran like a little. It was like the cutest thing. And another one, like if it was me or you, like if someone comes to see you, you have to be more chashiv, right? I'll be there in a second. Please, I'm with somebody right now, right? He has to be a chashivus. He was like a little boy, like he was just going out, or just got married. He jumped up, and says, "Oh, my wife is," and there was nothing artificial. What you saw, that's the person. That's him. He was who his nefesh is shining on his face. And you see that by a tzaddik. There's nothing pretentious. Rak menafshay. V'im enu misnaig b'pshitas b'pashtas kifisha yotze melibay. And if a person doesn't act, is not listening to the directives of his own nefesh, of his own heart. There is no reality in all that he is and all that he does. Kill of 120 years, the whole thing is stam sheker. Because the only thing that's true is your neshama, is your nefesh. So this guy's whole life is one big sheker. Or kvaru sheker. Now, obviously, you know, the Rebbe's not saying that a person, if someone says good morning to you, and right now you're feeling like, you know, you don't feel like you don't feel this at all. So if somebody says good morning, therefore, we think the Rebbe's not saying, he's saying, you know, bug off, you know, it's not a good morning. That's not what he's saying, that a person should always say and do what he feels. We're not talking about feeling, because a feeling of negativity is also coming from the guf, it's not coming from the neshama. A feeling of negativity is not coming from the neshama. This is something that secular psychologists haven't come to terms with. Because if you don't believe in the neshama, if all you believe in is in the guf, and maybe little drops of nefesh of some sort, what they call subconscious, or the different lashinas that they have, different levels of that which is slightly, ever so delicately beneath the skin. But if you don't believe in the neshama, if you don't understand it as a neshama. So he says that a person's life is entirely in the world of sheker. Ukrahu sheker. In other words, what I'm saying there, for example, with saying good morning, right? The dictate of the neshama should be to say good morning to everybody that you see. So it's not that you're being dishonest. It's just you're not in touch with the neshama. That's why. So he's not saying that if someone says good morning, you say drop dead. And he says, how can you talk to him like that? He says, that's my nefesh talking. I hear my neshama is telling you to drop dead. That can't be. There's no metzias like that. The neshama is talking, and it's ridiculous, right? But we're so far from the neshama, the mimela, it wouldn't be artificial. Is it artificial for a person to say, "Have a wonderful day"? Of course not. Our problem is that we don't really feel like saying it. We force ourselves. Baruch Hashem. I mean, we're trying to be decent people. But when the Rebbe is talking about, all that we're learning is how to reveal one's nefesh and how to come to terms with one's machshav and to use these types of exercises and meditations that we've been talking about, then you're going to come to a point where you really want to say good morning, have a nice day. Not just that you're faking it. But you really want to say, you really feel like saying that. Because your nefesh wants to tell that guy, have a nice day. Your nefesh wants to be mesameach, the whole world, and every Jew, every person, every child, your nefesh wants to be mesameach. And it's the most artificial thing. It's the biggest sheker that we're so grumpy and out of it. That's the sheker of the goof. The goof is talking when you feel like saying, leave me alone. That's the goof talking. Ukvahu sheker. You're not saying the tree is a stone. You don't say prosta sheker. You don't say shekel. You're not a liar in such a way. Now, what about such a person? It's a strange person. He says on an eitz that it's an evan. He sees it. He says that the tree is a stone. In other words, he says out and out lies. He says, but this person also, he says, that's mamish a liar. Yesoid veracious asheker hazesh b'poil, the root and the beginning of this sheker, maschil mizeh shul misitra demaisa. It comes in that side that is called the side of death. Ve'ein mitzias ve'ein nefesh b'chol ma'isa v'machshavosa, because this is a person who is not focused on what exists. He's not focused on mitzias. He's not focused on the nefesh of all that he does and all that he thinks. So at some point down the road, he's going to say that the piece of wood is a rock. That's the lashon of Tanakh. So he'll make up lies, different kind of lies. He'll say to somebody this, he'll say that, and he doesn't even realize that he's lying. I remember when I was a kid, there was a story that I made up. There was a thing that I made up that never happened. And then at some point when I was like 14, I caught myself saying this over to someone. And I was saying this over, and then afterwards I was thinking, you know, I had said this so many times that I actually thought that it was true. I don't think it never happened. I said something about when I was a kid, I did this, I did... It was a sheker. I made it up because I saw it on some show and I thought it was cool, you know? But it was a sheker meikar. The whole thing wasn't true. I was just passing this on. This is true. Because you're not murgul, you become a person that's just not... You're just not living in mitzias. You're not living in reality. Kol chenoi shel hayelad hu. No, we're coming to Chanukah. Chanukah is the nin of chen. Shua is chen chen la. The whole chen, the whole charm and beauty of a child, al shehu tamim and poshet. Is a child is tamim and is poshet. When you look in the child's eyes, there's a tmimis and there's a pashtis. There was a reform rabbi, a very brilliant fellow, that wrote a book about chassidus and Kabbalah. That he went to interview, he went to meet different tzaddikim. It's an interesting book. I happen to think it was very well written. It's mole sheker, but that's only when he makes his own observations. But what was fascinating was that he interviewed unbelievable people. That you see, their ahavas Yisrael, that they would agree to talk to him. They probably wanted to be Makarv. He was quite an influential reform rabbi. So, when he went, one of the figures that he was most overwhelmed by, but it wasn't enough, I think, to change him at all. Maybe it did in ways that we don't see. But he remained there. Was when he went to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It was back a long time ago. It was a mice in the '60s. So he was about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and one of the things that he asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe was how come he says I noticed when I came here, when I came into 770, so the children, they're so beautiful. He says, I never saw such beautiful children. And the children look so, they were running around and they came there. You know how, especially by the Chassidish kids, if they see someone that's not like them, they'll... Everybody, they come, it's like something's happening, this is exciting. So the children look so beautiful. So the Rebbe said a very profound thing. The Rebbe said, there are no creases in their eyes. Their eyes are plain. They don't have any creases. Our eyes are creased. That's what the Rebbe said. And this fellow was gave that a great deal of thought, and he wrote about what did that mean. The Rebbe said, creases in the eyes. Pashtus, pshitus, tmimus means when there are no creases in the eyes. When you met the Chabad Chaim, it was like it was, when I was echt to be by the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoilish, Zeichel Tzadik Levracha, it was even though you had a genius of geniuses, a man who was the cleverest, sharpest person you could ever meet. But when you looked at him, it was the face of a little boy. It was the face of a little boy. because it was a person whose nefesh, whose neshama was his metzias. Was his metzias. That was his metzias. A child has this chay of being tamim and pashut. Kshemedabrim imay, when you speak to a child, margishim ki'ilu em nafshay, when you speak to a child, you feel that you're speaking to. It's as if his neshama is talking. It's just it's coming through in a physical way. But you're talking to his neshama. There's nothing pretentious. He's not making. There's nothing pretentious. He's not trying to make himself look a certain way. He's not trying to create some other reality than anything other than this is who I am. And he's not making a cheshbon. Are you going to like me if I say this? Are you not going to like me if I don't say this? He doesn't make a cheshbon like that. The kid. And that's why we love children. That's why children are so sweet, and we feel so drawn to them, so attached to them. Because when you talk to a kid, you're talking to a neshama. You're talking to a neshama, and it's chaval. We don't, in ourselves, we don't feel that anymore. So when you have a kid, you see a child, it's mechayi. You talk to someone, it's normal. A child is normal. When you ask a child something, the question, he doesn't think of it, what does this guy want to hear? That's how we answer everything, right? What does that guy want? What do they want to hear? Now, if I don't like the guy, I'm going to tell him exactly what he doesn't want to hear. But if I like this person and I want him to be impressed, I'm going to tell him what he wants to hear. That child doesn't have a cheshbon like that. It's chederes ad nefesh. When he's asked a question, when the kid is asked a question, his nefesh is being asked a question, and he answers with his nefesh. Again, he can get to trouble like that sometimes. I told you once, I had such a funny maaseh. We used to daven Shabbos morning here, so there was a kiddush once. And so my wife used to, so she would, there was somebody new in the shul, she sent over, dropped off a challah or something. A cake, I don't know. A challah, I think. So this person, I met this person Shabbos morning after daven. He had a kiddush upstairs over here. And the... And this man comes over and he says, Rabbi, I want you to thank the Rebbetzin for that challah. It was delicious. So the kid was standing there and he says, what do you mean? Mommy put it right in the freezer. She said we could use it another week. We could use a different Shabbos. He says, you get the kid like, boom. The kid says, come on. He pulled him out of the room. He says, Mom, put it right in the freezer. We don't need it. He said, we don't need it. Put it right in the freezer. The kid, you know, made a cheshbon. There's no cheshbon. He's got this cheshbon that I get, you know, the rabbi, and to tell him something nice, and this, oh, kid, this is how we live. Mom, we're so used to it. Limda l'shanim leima sheker. You know, it's limda l'shanim sheker. That whole, our tongues, and mom, it's such a regilus. Now, that's not, is he allowed halachically to do? Of course he was allowed to do that, the father, because, the man, because you want to be a nice person. It's like saying good morning. You don't honestly mean that it's a good morning, but it's part of being nice. So what's he going to say? You can say, you know, it looked like a nice challah, we put it in the freezer, maybe we use it a different time. No. But our problem is that it doesn't bother us ki hu zeh. It's not like Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu had to go into for the bracha, and he had to go disguised as Esav, he was crying, and Chazal say what he was tzibrochen, oh, he was tzibrochen. Fakit, you're at work, and you get away with, and there's some kunst, and you're able to do it. So you want to get a plaque, in recognition of how I pulled this off. And the whole thing is sheker, is yisoidim is sheker. The whole thing's a lie. And you're a better liar than the next guy, so they promoted you. Right? The whole thing is sheker. Mainly a person goes in, like Yaakov Avinu was crying, he was sebrochen. How could I do this? How could I do this? Because Yaakov's whole midah was tamim, was tmimis. Ish tam. This is what's charming about a child. Umimenu bolon utshuva tmimu pshute. And from the child comes out this very sweet and simple answer. You remember years ago, Lahavdil, there was the Art Linkletter used to have that show. What was it? You remember I told you? You might have been on the show, but there was that show. Kids say the darndest things. It was that he had a show, and at the end of the show, there were like six or seven kids that would sit on these stools, and he would ask them questions, and they would say it was a riot. They were so funny, but the kids weren't trying to be funny. The kid, he was asking him, you know, stuff about the house and things, you know. The kids weren't trying to be funny, and this was a very popular show. People were crazy about it, and everybody's laughing, and Art Linkletter made money from this. Why? The kid was just saying straight. He asked me a shayla. He probably didn't understand why you were laughing. He asked me a shayla. What's daddy's favorite thing to say? What does your father say most often? And the kid said it, and the whole place is going crazy. And the kid can't figure it out. He asked me a question, I answered it. He just wants his toy. You know, they used to give the kids toys. He got his toy. I don't know. All right, give me toy. But the kid had no cheshbon. That was so wonderful. And why did people laugh? People laugh when something is unusual. When something is very, very unusual, it makes them laugh. It could even be something which is not so good, but they'll giggle, they'll laugh. Something is odd. It's slapstick. So look how we've fallen. Look what's wrong with us. That when you hear somebody say the truth, we start laughing. It's so cute. Look how this kid, he tells the truth. He wasn't trying to be funny. Yeah.
What's
penetrates to the soul. Chaderis means it penetrates. It's like the word cheder, which means a room. It means inside. It goes all the way inside. We met a bunch of tamim pshut. He gives a posh of the terror. He answers straight. You see, you have this metzias. You know, what was the name of that little girl that they still didn't figure out that someone killed her? There was a girl in Colorado, huh? Ramsey? Yeah. That they took a little girl, a beautiful little girl, and they dressed her up and they made her into a toy. They have beauty pageants, little children, and they teach little children to be actresses and actors and the whole thing. It means you take a little kid, and from the beginning, the kid is brought into your shkarim, into your lies. From the very beginning, give a kid a chance, a little bit, right away. It's all shkarim. The whole thing is shkarim. As koli by nice and hubachuvasa, when you see a child talk, he can be saying something that it's not important at all to you. I mean, it's a kleinigkeit. What do children say? They say kleine Sachen, but he says it in the most heartsicker way. Like a kid will say the simplest thing, but he says it in a heartsicker way. You ever see? I always notice this. At some point it stops, but you know how little ones, they're always running. Just when they're going to, there's nothing specific that they have to do. There's a toy over there. So they run across the living room. They run. What's the big deal? Because everything is hard to say. Because the nefesh, the neshama, its natural way is rizus. It's not lethargic. The body is what produces laziness. The body is what makes us slow down. So it's chaval, once the guv starts to have a greater presence in the child's life, then everything slows down. But the little ones, they mamish run, they run to do everything. They run to do everything, back and forth, running. When they're 1 year, 2 year old, you ever see how they're always running? Where? If you life to, where you go? Where you going? Where are you running? What do you have to do that's so choshev? Because that's the natural state of the nefesh, of the neshama.
You go as far as to say like a hyperactive kid, maybe he's hanging.
Huh? Listen, in everything, there's something that could be extreme, right? So I'm not enough of a maven to answer what is exactly the nature of hyperactivity in a child. I do know that. And we was talking to one of the chaverim last night. You know, you see this kaseda there. I personally believe that a lot of kids that they're healthy and that they're fine. I just am not enough of a maven to say this about any individual kid. But I believe that plenty of the kids are fine. It's just the adults have a hard time dealing with this. And Mimela, as a result of that, you know, we're going to stereotype this guy. We're going to label him. We're going to label this kid as being hyper this or hyper that. And we'll give him a couple of pills and a couple of shots, and he'll be just fine. Then he'll slow down like the rest of us. Right? I'm not so sure that the kid always has a problem. I understand. I'm not so stupid to think that some of these children, of course, have to be helped in their extreme situations when the kid has no zitzfleisch. But I also believe that many of those kids turned out to be very, very great, amazing tzaddikim. And that what hurts me is that I don't trust most of these people who are paskening on these children. I don't trust them. If you give me a therapist who's a chash of a person, he's in touch and he understands, then it saves a child's life. But if it's the wrong person, he paskens on a kid, hyperactive. Next. Now they have new names for everything. ADD, ABC, EFG. Every single kid, every kid that doesn't behave in the way that you think he should behave, let's go, take him to the drugstore. We'll fix him up, he'll be fine. Every single kid. When maybe it's our own patience that's lacking. What do you think? It's a naya machla. So every single kid for thousands of years, they're all mishagoyim. They're all mishagoyim. Everybody was crazy. Elamai, your parents had more patience. So your approach was, my kid's a little crazy, I got to deal with him. My kid doesn't have this. Okay, he doesn't sit, I got to deal with him. I understand that there are extreme problems. But it's interesting that you raise this, because I'm troubled by this. I don't know that every child has these machlas. And the kid grows up thinking, there's a guy that I know, he's 35, 36 years old. Anytime he does something dumb, he has to tell me. He says, you know, I have I had this disorder, that disorder, I forgot to take my pill. You know, it's like, it could be that it's true. I don't know anything about this. And forgive me for sounding so stupid, it's because I am. But I worry that sometimes children are being branded, and it shouldn't have happened. And maybe that child takes that with him his entire life, and maybe it becomes something that's unnatural in him.
The incidence of prescriptions of Ritalin is like hundreds of times what it was 10 years ago.
So what happened? So the kids became more mishugah? So they'll say, what the doctors will say is, no, we, Baruch Hashem, we're able to diagnose these things early. I'm not so sure. I don't know. Just as a layman, I don't know. But I'm certain that not all of these kids should be on medication. I don't believe it. And if the parent would be a heartsicker person, I'm not saying it's easy, but if the parent would be heartsick, and the parent would deal with the kid, and the Rebbe would deal with the kid, so it could be that would be the most productive child of all. I read an article, I don't remember which, it was an article, it was that in retrospect, some of the greatest people in modern history, psychologists have now paskened on them, in retrospect, that this one had ADD, these were people that had that had problems, that had these machlas. You know, so and I recall that Albert Einstein was one of them. We don't know that it could be that if he would have gotten the Ritalin, if he would have been taken care of by one of these chevra, then the world would have been missing what Albert Einstein was able to accomplish, what he was able to do, which was still benefiting from, which he was able to be Magal in Mitzius in reality. So who knows? So they used to come, you know, they said that by the altar from Slobodka, Kiyadua, that the altar from Slobodka, the Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the altar from Slobodka was a maven on a child. He understood a nefesh. You know that when Reb Aaron Kotler, the Gadol Hador, when Reb Aaron came to Slobodka, they say that he was Nishtan Ganson. He wasn't 100%. He was a genius, and sometimes geniuses don't have the kelim to deal with that seichel. They say that he came to Slobodka, they sent him to Slobodka, and he came to the altar, and the altar saw he has the future Gadol Hador sitting here, this Vilda who's wild. If you ever heard a recording of him speaking, how the mind was, even how difficult it was for him, even in his older years, to quiet down his mind, that it should work together with his guf. The Alter took these geniuses, and he was a maven on these geniuses. There's a whole list. And an Adam Gadol from that place once told me names of Gedolim that are chavrusas of his, friends of his, that he told me, I'm telling you, that when he first came to Slobodka, it was a Weltsmishugene. He was out of his mind. And the altar from Slobodka took him like a diamond, shaped and carved and spoke. This is an Adam Gadol. And out from that yeshiva came out from Slobodka, Rav Hutner, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and so on. But the altar had such a koyach that there might have, some of these people would have gone. Like this person was telling me, it was not Adam Gadol himself. And he even said about himself, he says, I'm included in this too. That the altar had, why? So if we would have, let's say we would have we would have 10,000 Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkels, and we'd have a few less of these therapists. Do you think that the world wouldn't be better? I don't believe it. Not that I'm against the... I'm not talking about the therapists that are in touch with the nefesh, what the Rebbe's talking about. We need those, more and more of those. I was now... when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I saw a student of mine. It's an interesting thing. So, you know, it's dawned finally, it's dawned upon some chever that some, maybe we have to go earn some money. There's a problem, you know. So, there aren't enough flights to take them over to you know, how many mishalochim can you bring on one Sunday, right? So, there's this realization that something has to go, has to change. So I have a very chashuv student, the mind has been learning for many, many years, and he has a very good way with people. And I mentioned to him some time ago that I think that he was thinking about he has to worry about a parnas and the family can I know is growing. And I mentioned that I think you'd be very good at counseling. You have a terrific, people naturally come to talk to him. He's very good. He has a good chush for people. And he spoke to the Amshinov about this inyan, and he spoke to the Stalinov about this, and they were very, they encouraged him very, very much to go into this. And he spoke to our there's a fellow in Yerushalayim. He told me the name. I don't know if I should mention the name. That he himself is a chosh of a psychiatrist that had a thriving business for many years in Chutz Lartz. He came to Eretz Yisrael, and he's counseling many people. He's helping a lot. He deals kimat only with the Frum, with the Charedim, and he helps many, many people. He is taking on students. Now, who are the students? They're mostly Hasidic guys, or B'nai Torah, yeshiva life, that never spent one day in college, right? He's taking them on as pupils. They pay a very nominal fee. I think he just does that so they should feel that it's something which is chashuv, that they have to take it seriously and come on time. And he's training these guys. And by the way, Dr. Lubitz is doing this with women also in Yerushalayim. He's training these guys to become miyatzim, people that could counsel others. And what he does is they do have to read. There's quite a bit of reading, but he takes them all over different things that he thinks are important. And he photostats and staples together. They're not taking home textbooks, but he makes for them a likud. So I was talking to this student of mine. I said, you know, a guy like me, I was brought up in a very secular, I was brought up, you know, with the degrees and the whole business and the years and years and years. And, you know, this guy, he's going two nights a week. He's going for this thing, and it takes a chvase, he's going this for a year. So I'm thinking, you know, this old thought, this is like a quack, he's going to be a quack. Where's your reading list? What are you doing? Because he showed me as this thing there. And who is this guy that's doing this? So he told me that this professor told him, he asked him the same thing, the professor told him, let me tell you something, 95% of all the stuff is absolute narishkeit. I'm giving you the 5% that you need to help people. Trust me. That's what he said. Now, if you say this in university, you know, they'll hang you. I understand. That's their parnosa. That's the home at Sears, which is a sheker of a chazav. He's saying, somewhere buried deep, deep within those thousands of books and thousands of lectures, and the whole and fraternity, sorority, drinking, hanging out, somewhere buried deep within there is some truth. So why can't I just give it to you directly? So you don't have to take basket weaving one. And tennis too, you know what I mean? For the experience to make you into a whole person. He's a very fine person, this guy. And so this professor says, "I'm going to give you that what you need." And he's fierce with them. They have assignments and homework, and he kills them. He works them mamish to the bone. But this is the tamsis, that you could help other Jews that need help. It's a gewaltig thing. So I don't know. You know, Yosef, you asked a very good question, and I've thought about it, and it worries me. And it worries me, because I personally think that a lot of these children, I wouldn't know what to do with one of these kids. I wouldn't know what to do. But I think that it's the easiest thing in the world just to pass them off as having this machlin, to give him a pill and to say, well, you know, is it self consult? Is it good for children to take this medication? I mean, I don't know the side effects, but I was always brought up thinking that any pill is better not to take any. If you don't have to, why should you take pills? It's not good for you. And who knows what the negative effects? I don't know if all of this has been completely determined yet. How does this affect the child? So this is the chain that the Rebbe is talking about that we see in children. So now the Rebbe says, so you think I'm asking you that you should be an idiot, like a kid. He says, I don't say you should be without das. A child doesn't have that das. He says, I'm not saying that we should be people that don't have any das. We should be like kids that don't have das. Rakshati atomim. You should be tmimizdik. Ulamashal. He says, for instance, how would this work in an adult? He says, Ulamashal. Kasha yishalcha adam dover. When somebody asks you something, loy tachshav eich lehashiva. You shouldn't. The first thought many we have usually is, how should I answer? You shouldn't have that. Don't do that. Don't have this thought. What would he want? How should I answer? That's shrewdness. That's cleverness. Loy tachshav eich lehashiva. Lefi nimus ha'olam yofel lehashiva kach. That according to this. So the accepted social graces that you should probably answer this way. And if I answer him in this way, he'll think of me as being a chacham, a wise person. And in order to trick him and to mislead him, it would probably be wise that I answer him in this way. Nimtzes, it comes out. You hear what the Rebbe says? Your answer is a collection. It's like a medley. A collection from the four corners of the world. It's not you at all. It's just some phony thing that you're pulling out from all different places. Because what's necessary according to what's expected by the world, the oilam, which he called already tipshim, idiots. This is how you answer. That he should think of you as being smart, as being witty. People are trying, you have these people that everything that you ask, they have to try to come up with some sort of smart answer, a witty answer. So everybody should think, ooh, wow, he's such a chacham. He's such a chacham. But your nefesh is missing completely. Think of, like, you know, when guys and girls, when they're hanging out and they're saying all this stuff, they talk to each other and they think they're being so deep and they're being so real and so amistic. Shava Sheke is trying to make a nice impression. The whole thing is Sheke. He doesn't even know who he is yet. He got these 14, 15, 16, they don't even know who are you? My father's Uncle Zonzan, who this meed of Tmimus and my father, he should be healthy and well, is so strong. I hope he will never listen to this type. It's so strong in my father. So if you ask him something, he'll look at you and he'll say, yes. Like if it were me, I would say, well, because, you know, and I go into this whole Megillah, and my father just says, yeah, that's good, do it. Just do that. Now my father's a very, very intelligent person, and he's a person with deep thoughts. But what I have to say, you didn't ask me that. You asked me this. I'm telling you, yeah, I think you should do it. And I would have to prod and pull and kvetch it out to my father. Ad hayoyim. Yesterday I had a conversation like this with him to try to get, tell me the hezbet, tell me a svara. So my father was also in a half a sentence. This is a svara. Even when it comes to talking about things from the war and that he went through, it's not. You know, he doesn't go fairly well. Even though they went through almost the same kind of they came from similar, from nearby towns, and they went through the same thing. He loves him as a person, and of course, and he respects him. But you know, night and day and dawn and hit my father doesn't go for it. He just feels that it's missing in pashtus, and that's what it bothers him. He doesn't say exactly what it is, but there are certain things that a person experiences that you can't express to someone else, and once you do, it's already shaker. It's already shaker. There are certain things that once they put them into words, it's already shaker. That's why what we're living in is such an alma de shikra, You know, you can go to the store and you can buy a card for $1, $1.50, and then you send it to someone that you love, and it tells the person a message. You know, like, it's crazy. Which the old timers, those Jews who are Tmimis Dikiyidin, to them, this is such a galechta. They can't understand Bichlal, this whole industry of lying, advertising. The whole industry of Sheker, to them, is so bizarre. Because they don't have that, their whole, everything about them is poshut. Therefore, so, what do you mean? They're saying on a card how I feel about you? Somebody wrote in some factory? They printed on a card that I feel this way about you? And how come you don't find these old timers having to say every single second, I love you, honey, I love you, baby. You're the best, you're the greatest. It's all skarma chazovma. It's all, you love someone, so no. Yeah, you know, these lashonis, this not talking from the nefesh. Not talking from the nefesh. There's no tmimis and pashtis. This is when you meet a Jew from that old way, that pashtis is the most charming thing. We see a chayin in it. We don't go that way. We don't imitate it. But you see, and if you imitate it, it's not good either, because for them it's mamish real. That's how they are. That's how they talk. This is what you see is what you get. Gendi. There's nothing pretentious. There's nothing, and they might get into trouble sometimes. And I had meisim like this. You know, my father, he just says, this is the way, this is my mother saying, oh no, don't, my father would say this. this is what I think. If you don't like it, so you don't have to like it. So I didn't say you have to be my friend. You don't like it. It's a pashtus. And children have this. They don't have, children have to be trained not to act that way. Then the adults train them that way. They're taught not to be pshutim, not to be tmimim. It's interesting how... Yeah, no. Children, they start off black and white. Everything but you have to see gray like us. That's an interesting thing. Look how the Rashab from Lubavitch, how he began to call the chassidim tmimim. The Lubavitch is a chassid ha-tomim. And Toim Chay Tmimim, the yeshivas, everything Tmimis. That began, but I think it began with the Rishab. That he started saying everything with the Chosid Atom, Tmimis. Because this is the side of Chassidus. This is what the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was looking for. This is how the Tzaddik, the Talmud Baal Shem Tov, carried themselves. This is how they lived. Not only the Talmud Baal Shem, Chavetz Chaim was a godlin this way. When you met the Chavetz Chaim people, the way they said that you met the Chavetz Chaim, was mamish like a little boy. Mamish like a little boy. And that's what I was saying to you once in Shul, that you had, that my father told me about his mother, Aleha Shalom, that when she used to read the parasha, she sent around, and you know, Thursday night, Friday night, she used to read in Yiddish the parasha. My father said how she used to get so excited. She would start saying in Yiddish, Paro. She would start to say, Paro, you think you're a Kliger, huh? Paro, you think you're smarter than the Rabbi Shalom, Paro. And she would say in her own words, oh, you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And then it would come to Kriya Samsa, you see? The Rabbi Shalom. And that's how they live. People small. That's how she read Chumash. Not like, ich halte, you know, I hold that Rashi didn't say pshat the way that I would have said, you know. It's when they would read a medrash. I told you once, a couple of years ago, that I remember that I made a mistake. You know, years ago by the Seder, I shouldn't say it's a mistake, it's a mitzvah to have people by the Seder, but after I spoke to Tzaddikim, they say it's better to have just mishpocha by the Seder. But anyway, but I had a Seder, I had some new inductees into our way of living. I had some Bala Tshuva, but recent Bala Tshuva. So we're sitting by the Seder, so I'm trying to explain, you know, and my parents, you know, they're sitting there, they're being very nice about it. And I'm explaining this and that. So at some point in the middle, so the fellow that was there, I remember we were going to Brandeis, the guy at the college, so he says, but Rabbi, in truth, how do we even know that God exists? My father's sitting by the Seder. You know, it's like, you have to take, I can't paint this look on his face. And my father says like this, he says, you know, in that heavy Hungarian accent, so my father says, look, the Rabbi Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim. No. Otherwise, why are we having a Seder? Because the Rebbeinu Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim. So what are you asking, Akasha? Does it exist? Doesn't exist? Otherwise, we wouldn't have a Seder. The Rebbeinu Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim, and he gave us the Torah by Har Sinai. And then we're his people, and we have to mekayim on the mitzvahs. Let's go on. Oh, my Rebbe Lazar. You know, that's it. What are you making him crazy? My father says, what are you, man? What are you bringing him here? He's making him crazy. He's asking him, but the Rebbeinu Shalom exists? What kind of talk is that? By a Seder to talk? And we're philosophers, right? We hear this, we say, ooh, now I'm going to have to remember that piece from the Ramchal. And to answer how God exists, and the proof, and Reb Sadia Goyen, and the Rambam, and it's all good stuff. What do you think? I don't believe in that. Of course it's, and you have to say it. But that, I'm talking about that pashtus. It's a certain tamimus, a certain pashtus that we can't bring kids up like that anymore. And Muna Pshuta. We've eaten from the Eitz Hadas. We don't eat from the Eitz Chaim anymore. We took from the Eitz Hadas. That's what happened to us. So you take a little tour, you go to Meir Sharm a little bit, you meet a couple of these people, say, hey, it's really sweet, it's really charming, get me out of here. It's nice for an hour or two, right? But you can't live that way. The whole Friday night, to sit until 4 in the morning with the Rebbe and this and that. Who could live that way? It's nice to look at a little bit. You have it on a postcard, a painting, you look at it, you take a picture, you go home to your Eitz Hadas. But when people live with the Eitz Chaim, we're not used to the Eitz Chaim. But people used to eat from the Eitz Chaim. It's hard for us to understand what that means. And it doesn't have to do with Europe, it's just because that's what I'm familiar with. You mean the same thing by the Sfaradish. You talk to a Taman, you talk to an old-timer from this. There's such a tamimus, like children, little children, such an innocence, such a sweetness and clarity that they have. And this is what he's saying. Va'ata im nafshecha chaserim. The Rebbe says, you don't even, you're not bechlal not with your nefesh. You're not talking, your nefesh is not talking, you're bechlal not holding by your nefesh, you're not in touch with your nefesh. Ain't kan leimitzias v'leichias. Mimela, how come you don't say things in such a heartsicker way? You know, why don't you say it the way that the Chofetz Chaim used to talk? Even when he said to somebody, have a good day, it was so heartsick. Because why? Because that was the mitzias of, that was him that was talking. Whenever you're in touch with mitzias, with truth, truth means life. As the Rebbe said at the beginning, that's chiyas. So mimela, when you're true and you're real and you're honest, it's going to be heartsick. It's going to be with a chiyas. But because we know that what we're saying is not who really what we, it's not really who we are, and we're living in this sheker, and we're lacking in this tamimus, so mimela, we're not motivated, we're not driven the same way that you feel like doing something you don't want to do, you feel like doing something, you don't feel like doing it. So all of our lives have become lethargic and empty because we don't really feel like doing any of these things. Even though you swear, this is what I want to do, this is what I like to do, I'm happy with my life, I'm really happy with my life. But we go about things in such a slow, lethargic, empty way because it's not really who we are. Lo mitzias v'lo chias, lo nefesh v'lo emes. There's no nefesh in this and there's no emes in this. Sheker efes v'avohu hi. That's all. And now you can't do that with chias because you're a Jew. You're supposed to be a shakran with chiyas. You can't do it with chiyas. Because shakran doesn't have a true mitzvah, so you can't do it with, you can't really enjoy it. You can't really have a chiyas doing this. You can't have a chiyas. You thought you're going to find the deepest meaning in life and this thing, that thing. And you can't find a chiyas in any of these things. Because your nefesh is not in it. Your soul is not in it. And since your soul is not talking, the me'ela, it comes me'alma demaisa, it comes me'sitra demaisa from the side that's called death. And the side that's called death has no energy. It has no energy. So the vaita, you tell the doctor, he says, you need to take a pill, it'll give you more energy. You need to take a pill, it'll make you more labedic. It's also, so take a pill to make you more labedic. And instead of being emistic, instead of being tamimistic and being pashut, where you would feel a natural chiyas and you would feel leibedik. Instead, so now, so you take they're going to have pills. I'm sure they're going to come out with pills, tamimus pills, pashtus pills, leibedik, chiyas, a pill for everything, right? You go to the doctor, he'll tight you up, he'll say, no, you're lacking in chiyas. We have a special pill to make you have more chiyas.
All they can understand is how external things can motivate the guf.
They're only talking to the guf.
Of course.
They'll speak about subconscious and words and fancy and this and that. The emes, they're talking to the guf. And the same thing with these kids. They're talking about the guf. They're diagnosing the guf. They're not diagnosing the neshama. They're diagnosing the body. And from that, you could help. But a real yeshua you can't get for the, you can't find for a child or for an adult a real yeshua if all you're doing is diagnosing his body. Especially if it's a Jew. A Jew is very complicated. It comes from you know that I mentioned to you, we'll end with this now, that there was somebody, I mentioned this to you, there was somebody that was brought to the, there was a Talmud Chacham, there were some fellows that they were learning in the Mir Yeshiva in Europe, and one of them had come from America to learn in the Mir. I don't remember who it was. He came from America in those days. It was Mesivus Nefesh. He came to the, he was learning in the Mir. And so his European friend brought him to the Chavetz Chaim for a bracha. He comes to the Chavetz Chaim, and the Chavetz Chaim asked, who are you with? So the friend said, this is my friend. He comes from very far away. He comes from a far away place. The Chavetz Chaim said, where do you come from? So he says, America. So Chavetz Chaim says, that's not so far. He says, you know where your neshama comes from? He says, your neshama comes from a place way above the malach and way above the angels. Beyond anything malach. That's where you come from. And you were put here, it's far away. Try to remember where you come from and try to live and try to learn and don't waste your time. That's what he told him. Do you think America is far away? It's not so far. It's not so far. The Olam HaNeshamas is far away. And our job here in this world is to create a situation where Kikar Ve'locha Hadovim Ha'oid, where we feel closer to that world, where we don't feel the distance, we feel close to that world. So Hashem Yisbarach should help us that we should be able to not only to learn about the Nefesh, but to be able to ourselves feel more of its presence.